Awesome. You know, I'm feeling pretty cool today. But if you're me, you don't get to experience that feeling very often of feeling cool. But I'm pretty cool. Just go with me here for a minute. Because Colton, our drummer, gave me a little stand. I have some notes and whatnot on my phone that I like to have. And so he said, "You're done propping it up on your water bottle." So he got me a little stand. So I'm feeling pretty cool. At least got the cool stand anyway. Because Colton's pretty cool and he's pretty techie and he's pretty awesome. So thanks, Colton. Well, it's good to see you. Good morning. How is everyone? Good? Enjoying your long weekend? Oh, really? I'm enjoying mine. Well, mine just feels normal, but I hope you're enjoying your long weekend. We actually, yesterday, with our kids, they play sports, and so our Saturdays have been pretty non-existent. Well, they've been existent. They happen every, seventh day, but as far as us being able to be free to do stuff on Saturdays, those have been non-existent. And so we were getting ready to do the first of the year. Some people would call it lawn mowing. In our case, it should have been like hay baling, because I'm convinced with how long it was, I could have sold it and done the hay thing. But so we were doing that. So we were all planned. We're going to get the whole crew together, the whole family, and become a landscaping. And then it rained. And so I was like, figures. So the hay baling will continue to wait, and we will get it next go around. So I hope you're enjoying the weekend, but it is, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I tell you, no other place I'd rather be than in God's presence and with his people. And so that's who we're with today. I get to preach this morning, and I'm excited. We've been talking. If you haven't been here, we've been on a series that we've been entitled The Fit Soul. And we've been talking about getting healthy from the inside. And God's desire for his church is health. Amen?
Amen.
God's desire for your life is that you would be healthy from the inside to the outside. Right? And when we're talking about a soul, we're talking about really your mind, what you think about, your will, what you desire, and your emotions, what you feel. And so God desires that his people would be people who prosper in the soul level. And so we've just spent the last several weeks talking about it. And I just, even last week, being able to pray for several people, just getting rid of unhealthy patterns and getting rid of unhealthy mindsets and saying, God, we want to believe what you want us to believe. And so I hope you've enjoyed it. And we're going to continue this morning in our series. And I want to talk a little bit about, you're going to laugh at me. We're going to talk about dieting for a minute. Come on, D-I-E-T, diet. No, I am not on a diet. I'm just skinny. Sorry about that. But I was thinking about our physical bodies. And actually, the thing that really made me think about this was, do you guys realize what was 7 months from yesterday? Christmas. Huh? Has anyone else got the countdown on? Yeah, me and Mary, right? 7 months. Christmas will be here before we know it. And I was thinking about my favorite Christmas movie, which happens to be Elf. And I, of course, was thinking about nutrition and thinking about the nutrition of an elf. You know, the major food groups. Because if we start talking about fuel and dieting, we have to talk about what we eat. And I was reminded of the major food groups of an elf, which are candy, candy canes, candy corn, and syrup. Unfortunately, in my life or in my boys' life, that sometimes is a reflection of their actual diet. And we, when we start talking about food groups, you know, we start talking about, it's so funny because we all learned it in health class, but I can't even probably tell you all the food. I'd probably have to look them up and make sure because it tells you how limited probably my diet is. But we realize as humans the importance of what comes into our body, what we consume, will be a direct reflection of the performance that our body goes through and the energy level and the health level and all those different things. And I many times in my life, I forget to eat. That's probably one of the reasons why I stay thin. But it's funny because I don't realize I'm hungry because I'm hungry. I realize I'm hungry because I start like zoning out. I start like moving really slow. I start getting really tired. My head does this fuzzy thing where I'm like, why is things? Oh, it's because you need to fuel your body. And so that's just me. Some of you might not have that problem. Some of you might be the opposite of me and say, man, when, you know, I just eat all the time and that's why I get the funny feeling. And that's, we can pray for you later if that's you. But the last few weeks, we've been talking about an unhealthy soul. So we're talking about diet and we're talking about fuel, what you put into your body. And we have, over the last few weeks, we've talked about different things that can make us be unhealthy at the soul level. We talked about having clutter in our lives, right? And Pastor Ryan did a great job of just breaking down things in our life that cause us to have clutter, that cause us to be busy. We talked about negative thought patterns, right? Last week we talked about how fear wants to come in and it wants to drive and it wants to direct everything that we're doing. Last week we talked about isolation and how one of the main tactics of the enemy is to get us isolated at the soul level and get us to feel like no one's with us and we're just all alone. So we've kind of been talking about it from that perspective. But today, and from this part going forward, I want to start talking about what is feeding our souls. Because if we are going to live healthy at the soul level, we can't just, you know, abstain from busyness and abstain from, you know, get friends around us and do all these things. We have to feed our souls. Just like we have to feed our bodies, there has to be ingredients that we are deliberately putting into our life, right, that is going to cause us to run the race that we're called to run. And so I started thinking about this, and I started thinking about needs. What really do I need in my life? You know, there is a big difference between a want and a need, isn't there? But to a three-year-old, it's the same thing, right? A need and a want. You know, my three-year-old thinks he needs like 18 licorices every morning. He doesn't need those. In fact, that will only make things worse. But there is a big difference between a need and a want. And you and I, in our physical body, we realize that we need some basic things to live, right? We need air, right? That's important. Food, water, shelter, and sleep, right? They have defined that in order to live a life, I wouldn't even say a good life, you have to have those five things. And if you neglect one or more of those areas, the quality of your life is going to be affected, right? If you decide to neglect air, well, obviously, things are going to shorten up real quick. You know, and having kids myself and having a lot of friends with young kids, I've seen the effects, what happens when you have little kids and you do not sleep very much at night, right? Because you kind of have that look. You kind of have that attitude. You're grumpy. I'm grumpy, right? So we can see the effects when some of our basic needs aren't being met. You're affected by it. And I believe much like our physical bodies, at the soul level, it's the same. Yeah. That you and I were created with basic needs that our soul must have in order for you to live a successful life at the soul level, a healthy life. And if you neglect any of these four soul needs, then the rest of your life will be affected by it. And so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time talking about it, but I was thinking about the different needs, right? These aren't wants, okay? These are what your soul needs to survive. And remember, when I talk soul, I'm talking your mind, your will, and your emotions. So number one, a soul need. Just like air, your soul has been created with the need to love and be loved.
Okay, you were created from the very beginning to love and be loved, first and foremost by God. That if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to tell you this morning that today is your day. Amen. Today is the day that you can encounter, because you were created with a hole inside of you that only would be filled by the love of Father God. If you have never experienced the love of Jesus before, today is the day that I pray that you will have an encounter with His love over your life. Because you were created with the need to be loved by a father. You were created with that desire and that longing. And until it's satisfied, you will go through your life, right? And you will try to fill it with other loves, right? Or other things. But the only thing that will satisfy that longing is the relationship with Jesus Christ. So you have a need to be loved and also to love. Listen, Steve talked about it. There's Steve. This morning, he talked about it, but he talked about his worship and his time with the Lord. Listen, there is something that happens when you spend time with God in His presence that will fulfill you for the rest of your life. Okay, it's not just reading your Bible because, oh, that's a good Christian thing to do. No, there is life that happens when I pour out my love to my Creator. Okay, there's my whole day is different. If I miss my morning worship time, which let me tell you, I got to be quiet so I don't wake up the family. But I get filled up in the mornings with the Lord because I'm just pouring my love upon Him because He's worthy to be praised. So you are created with the need to love and be loved. Number two, you were created with the need to belong. Okay, belong. Belong to what? Like a club? Well, no, not necessarily. But you were created for community. Okay, for this church. Listen, the benefits of coming to church are not just so we can get your money or something like that. Right? There is a community of believers that we experience when we are in the corporate church level that is vital to the success of my soul, of my health. Okay? We were created to belong. You were created to do life with others. Amen? Amen? You were created to not just do your own thing and just get in your corner and do your holy huddle and just me and Jesus. You were created to do life with others. There is a sense of belonging that you are created to experience with the relationships that you put around your life. Number three. Okay, again, these are needs. So if you're like, man, I just want to belong, you're not just being extra emotional, right? You're not just like being extra needy, like, oh man, I just want some friends. No, you were created with the need to be surrounded by people in your life. Okay, so it's not just you being emotional, it's actually you trying to fulfill that longing that you were created with. Number three, you were created with the need to grow. Or another word I might use is you were created with the need to become. Become what? Grow to what? Well, since you asked, you were created with the need to grow into God's will and potential for your life. Probably my number one fear that I have in my life, well, not probably, like the number one, is that I would miss God's will, or that I would fall short of what God has for me. Because I believe that God has something perfect for each and every one of us. And my prayer is that every day that I would grasp what He has for me. I don't ever want to miss God. That's my desire, right? I want to be at the end of the day who God has made me to be. Right? That is a need. Listen, I don't want to just get closer to Him so I could be smarter than the next guy. No, I want to be closer to Him because I want to know His heart. Okay? Because I'm created with the need to become. So if you're not satisfied with where you're at in your Christian life, that's not a bad thing. Because God has more for you than what you're currently walking in. Right? And it's okay that you pursue those things. And the last thing, and what I want to spend some time on this morning, is that you were created with the need to bless. Okay, you were created with the need to bless. Well, to bless what?
So this weekend is a nation we are remembering and we are honoring men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I can have a great long weekend and experience the freedoms that we experience today. Amen. And so at this time, I honor those. I honor those that I know. I honor those family members of mine that have given the ultimate price so that we could have freedom. And on top of that, those that have served in the service, that are here today, thank you for serving, for putting yourself in the position to be ready to give that sacrifice. We're grateful for your service this morning. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking of even as a young man, and I don't know if it's just men or boys, you know, I mean, we have it in our home because we got a bunch of boys, but there is something attractive to our sons, and there was something attractive to me as a young man about being a part of the armed forces. And it wasn't because, you know, you just get to shoot guns all day, and, you know, that's cool. No, but there was something deeper that said, I might be able to use my life and the sacrifices that I go through that might make someone else's life better. Right? There was this something attractive as a young man to me about being in a situation where I could help someone out. Right? We did all these assessments as high schoolers, right, that you do all the assessments. And every single one of them, they said, I think mine in high school was, you should be like a first responder or like some sort of like human services helper. Like, and then because they didn't have like pastor, right? Because there was something in me that wanted to help others. And I believe that that was something that we're all created with. We're all created with the ability to want to make someone's life better because of something that we can do to help them, right? That's not just some crazy thing, right? Philippians 2, turn in your Bibles, starting with verse 2. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And it's one of my favorite scriptures because I can still remember the day that the scripture just jumped out at me. And this is what it says. It says, complete my joy, and this is the apostle speaking to the Philippian church, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Okay, as a young man, to hear that, hey, buddy, you're not the most important one here, right? Count others as more important than yourself. Let each of you not only look to your own interests, but also look to the interests of others. Listen, we live in a generation that I think needs to see this scripture come alive in their life. Because I know a lot of people that think about their own interests first, but God is looking for a people that would not only look to your own interests, but would also look to the interests of those around you. Verse 5, have this mind, hey, we're talking about the mind, among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So we're called to have this, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count again equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Some translations say became a drink offering, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Listen, when I was between my sophomore and my junior year, this scripture came alive to me. And I have it written in my old Bible because it got torn up, so I don't use it anymore. But I have written in the scripture whatever year it was of July when I knew that God was calling me to make that scripture a part of my life. And I said, God, I want to be one that others can depend on. God, I want to be one that is constantly not just looking to my needs, but is trying to better those around me. And it seems simple at 17 and probably selfish at 17, and I probably had my own motives with it. But there was something that came alive in me. And so I tried to live my life this way. And I've had on more than one occasion, because of what God has done in me, people have said things like this to me. You know you're going to get taken advantage of.
Because you're so nice, Justin. Because you'll give them the shirt off your back and your socks and everything else. You realize people are going to take advantage of you, right? Right. Yeah. You realize you need to set boundaries because you're going to get walked on, right? Well, probably. And so in my short life of trying to live this, have I been taken advantage of? I don't know. Have I been walked on? I don't know. I've definitely helped a lot of people move, right? Like, I don't know. But here's what I know. I don't regret it one bit, right? I don't regret saying, man, I want to be one that others can depend on. Have they depended on me? Well, yeah, right? I've been depended on. Has it been convenient all the time? Well, it's never convenient to be a drink offering, right? Ask Jesus, like, hey, Jesus, no. But I know I want to be one that others can depend on because there's something about sacrifice. There's something about being a blessing to others that I believe Jesus is looking for his church to rise up in. And trust me, it's a daily thing I've got to choose, and I don't do good all the time. But here's what I know, that refreshing comes as you refresh others. That's biblical, right? Your life is found when you give it away, right? That's truth. That'll preach, and God is faithful, amen? God is faithful. You know, John 4:34, the disciples, they were talking to Jesus, and Jesus was teaching. And they were talking about him being hungry, and, you know, Jesus probably had a deeper spiritual meaning. But in John 4:34, he says this, and it just spoke to me this last week. He said, Jesus spoke up and he said, my food, okay, remember, our food is our fuel. Our food is the things that drive us. Our food is to be doing the will of him who sent me. Listen, you will be refreshed. You will be fueled by doing God's will for your life. Every time you will be fulfilled. I promise you that. So, this morning, I want to talk about probably the greatest miracle that we see in the Bible. Because I believe this morning, as we're talking about a healthy soul and a fit soul, that we need to go back to the scripture and we need to see some things, and there's some things that we can learn. Because this just isn't another serving message. Okay, oh, Pastor Justin, here he goes again. They must need more volunteers. Well, two things. Number one, you can never have enough volunteers. I mean, come on. Who are we kidding? But number two, it's not just about doing things to help people, because God is in the business of doing miracles. And he wants to do a miracle as you live your life as a drink offering for others. So I want to read the greatest miracle that we know, right? And it's when Jesus in Matthew 14 is where I'm going to read it from, where he multiplied loaves and multiplied fish to feed. So turn your Bibles to Matthew 14 and let's read some scripture together. Starting with verse 13. On hearing this, Jesus slipped away privately by the boat to be alone. But when the crowds discovered that he sailed away, they emerged, picture in your minds, they emerged from all the nearby towns and followed him on foot. Moms, have you ever tried to just like go to the bathroom alone? Like tiptoe, I'm just going to take a shower. And then it's like they could smell the shower being turned on and they just come. Right, so Jesus, and on hearing this, so this is right after Jesus got news that his beloved friend, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. So he's wanting to get away, he's wanting to mourn, he's wanting just to take a minute for himself to process what's going on, and people, needy people, emphasis on needy, right, could smell Jesus getting on a boat, and they're like, we got needs, we're going to find Jesus. And so they follow him on foot. So when Jesus landed, he had a huge crowd waiting for him. Like, good luck getting some peace and quiet, Jesus. Seeing so many people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion toward them. So he healed all the sick who were in the crowd. Just another day being Jesus.
So you got to have the context a little bit. So Jesus, and then actually if you read in the other Gospels, actually his disciples went with him to be alone together. This was their friend that then they were mourning. And so all these people came, their needs get met, the sick are healed. And then in verse 15, later in the afternoon, so they'd been there for a little while, at least a few hours, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, it's going to be dark soon, people are hungry, but there's nothing to eat here. This is a desolate place. You should send the crowds away to the nearby villages to buy themselves some food. Okay, so number one, in talking about a life to bless, a life to give, first thing we need to understand this morning is a life of service is more than fulfilling people's needs, but it's being part of the miracles that Jesus wants to do. Okay, it's more than fulfilling needs, but it's being part of a miracle. You know, I've heard this scripture be preached out probably 100 times, and probably 99 times out of 100, the disciples have gotten a bad rap about this. They're like, those rotten disciples, like, you know, they're just trying to, you know, shoo people away. I was thinking about it, you know, could it be that the disciples actually recognize that these people had a real need? Like, hey, these people are hungry. Like, probably they should eat, because I know what happens when you're hungry and you don't get fuel for your body. So these disciples are thinking about the needs of the people, I think, right? That's how I'm tending to believe it. That they're saying, hey, these guys need to eat. But unfortunately, they got stuck with what was in front of them. Do you ever do that? Where you get so focused on a project and your wife or your husband comes to tell you something, but you can't even hear what they say because you're so focused on the need in front of you? Happens. How about in ministry and in life? And then every morning, you leave your house at 8:30 and you got to be at the coffee shop at 8:45 and you got to leave by 8:55 and someone starts talking to you and you're like, don't they know that I get to get on the road? Right? We get so focused on what? On the things in front of us. And this is where I think maybe the disciples lost it. Because they were focused on the needs that the people had when they weren't focused on the miracle that Jesus wanted to prepare before them. They were so focused on the needs that they missed, hey, maybe Jesus wants to do a miracle today. They weren't even on that wavelength. They were just like, we got to get people food. Listen, in our life, Jesus wants to do miracles every day. Every day, he wants to do a miracle through your life. Every day. People say, well, God doesn't do miracles. Well, maybe it's because we don't put ourselves in a position to be a part of the miracle that he wants to do, because we can get so focused on what's in front of us. So we'll continue in verse 16. They don't need to leave, Jesus says. You can give them something to eat. Can you imagine the fear? And like, the, oh, snap. What's next? What are we going to do now? Like, we don't have anything. They answered, all we have is 5 loaves and a couple fish. You, and I picture when Jesus says this of like this booming voice, you get them something to eat. And here's what I want to talk about is, we talk about not being, seeing miracles. Listen, God wants to use ordinary, everyday situations, and he wants to do a miracle through those things. Listen, there's nothing miraculous about eating lunch. There's nothing miraculous about getting people food as the disciples are going to do. That's a normal thing. In fact, if you continue to read other translations, when Jesus said that to them, they like, it's not like they were like stupid. What did they do? They went and they tried to find what they had, right? They went around and some boy had some fish. Listen, God used a boy's or a girl's lunch to be the foundation of the greatest miracle that we know. Could it be that God wants to take our everyday, ordinary lives and he wants to make those things the foundation of the greatest miracles that we've yet to see in the future? Could it be?
could it be?
You know, I look back through the Bible because here's what I know is God always would use what people brought to him and he would bless it. Listen, it wasn't about the fish. It was about God's blessing. It wasn't about that they were just these like special rare fish that the boy had. No, God honored the sacrifice. Think about some stories. The widow in the Old Testament who brought everything she had, a mite, which is less than a penny. She brought that to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? What was his response? He was moved by her gift. Why? Because it's what she had. Because she gave out of her heart. How about the other widow and her son who were on the verge of starvation? They had not, they were getting ready to eat the last little bit of food they had. Remember the story? And Elijah, the rude prophet, right? We're not even going to call him the prophet. He's like, hey, I know you don't have any food. You probably are so weak you're about to die, but hey, give me the rest of your oil. Jerk. Bring your own oil, prophet, if you're going to feed someone, right? No, because the principle is bring what you have to the Lord and watch him bless it. Bring what you have to the Lord and allow him to bless it. Right? The loaves, the fish, it seems small. Right? How embarrassing. Hey, out of all this, we've got two fish and some loaves. That's not going to do it. At that point, you'd rather have nothing. Like, hey, it's like insult to injury. Hey, we had nothing before, but now we only have enough to feed, like, you know, two people. Like, how rude. How embarrassing. Right? And I think sometimes in our life, that's what we can tend to do. Is we look at the little we have and we say, well, that's not significant enough, so I'm just going to hang on to it. But when we do that, we don't allow God to bless what we bring. Because remember, the miracle is in the blessing. The miracle is in the blessing. So God will use ordinary things to spark a miracle. Yeah, I can only imagine what the disciples were thinking as they brought the fish and they're like, hey, no, it's not much. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus doesn't need much from you? He doesn't need much. You know, the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. Right? The kingdom of this world would say, well, you need to bring something significant to Jesus. That's not how our King works. And I'm grateful this morning that Jesus doesn't need me to be on my best to use my life. He doesn't need you to have all your issues sorted out before you would be a blessing to others, because God wants to do incredible things through your weakness, through the turmoil that you've experienced, through your heartache. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 27 says it this way. It says, God chose. Remember, chose is a choice. He made a choice to choose those who the world considers foolish, to shame those who think they are wise. God chose the puny and the powerless to shame the high and mighty. He chose the lowly, the laughable in the world's eyes. The nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent. So there would be no place for boasting in God's presence. For it is not from man that we draw our life, but from God. Period. As we are being joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. And now, he is our God-given wisdom, our virtue, and our holiness. Listen, the kingdom of God is backwards from the kingdom that we live in. It is backwards. It doesn't make sense. If I were God, I probably wouldn't do it the way he did it. But guess what? I'm not God. And the ways of the kingdom work. Because the principle is God always blesses what we bring. Listen, I don't know what it is about us humans, but I do it, and I think I'm not alone in this. But whenever we get overwhelmed, whenever we go through hard times, whenever we get discouraged, what's the tendency? The tendency in my life is to go inward. The tendency is to shut down. The tendency is to focus on me. But in doing that, I think many times we rob the blessing that God wants to do in our life. Because you are not perfect. You probably never will be perfect. But God doesn't need you to wait until your gift is fully developed to use you. I hope that's for someone this morning. Because I've gone through my whole life saying, well, God, when I'm more free, then you can use me. Listen, God wants to use me in my current level of freedom to bring freedom to others now. And I believe as I give of my life, I will walk in more freedom. Because God always blesses what we bring. Let's continue. Jesus says, give me the food. Let me have them. Then he had everyone sit down on the grass. Imagine being there, right? So cool. He took the loaves and the fish. He looked up. He gave thanks to God. He broke the bread into pieces. Right, it's probably smaller than the communion bread we ate today. 5,000. Thanks, Jesus. He then gave it to his disciples, who in turn gave it to the crowds. And everyone ate until they were satisfied, for the food was multiplied in front of their eyes. Amen? Miracle. Miracle. The fourth thing I want to look at today is that in our DNA, there is a DNA to bless others. Because of the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. That means you possess the DNA to be a blessing to others. And what I love here is that Jesus, he probably could have allowed the fish to come to the earth any way he wanted to. Right? Think about it. How about in the Old Testament when manna would fall from heaven? Remember? I'm sure if Jesus wanted salmon falling from heaven, he could have done that. Like, hey, salmon, hey, woo. Like, Pike Place ain't got nothing on Jesus. It's, you know, halibut's falling from heaven or whatever. Like, hey, look out. Here comes a tuna. But what did he do? Sorry. What did he do? He chose to use his disciples to be the ones that were going to be the carriers of the miracle. He said, you take this bread and you start distributing it. Okay, you and I are the ones that get to partner with God, and we get to be the ones that get to help distribute the miracle. Because last I checked, salmon ain't fallen from heaven. Last I check, if you need a healing in your body, I don't see body parts falling from heaven. But what I do see is I see God saying, would you activate your faith and would you step out and would you put yourself in a position to be a part of a miracle? Would you serve people on a regular basis so then you can be a part of a miracle? That's one of the greatest privileges we have as being the church. Yeah. It means no one else is supposed to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, but his church is. Right? So if you're bored in your Christianity, I want to encourage you this morning, then start acting and doing something that Christians do. Well, what is that? Be part of God's miracles. What is that? Stepping out in faith. What is that? Loving the unlovely. Right? Then start being Christian and if you're bored, then let's do it, right? Don't just be bored anymore, but partner with the Spirit of God in your life because God wants to do incredible things. And as you do that, guess what's going to happen? You will become healthy from the soul level because you were created with the DNA to bless and to partner. So, the last part, 21. They picked up, leftovers. We're talking leftovers? Like,
The leftovers were more than what they started with. Huh? Leftovers? Talking practice, right? They picked up the leftovers and they filled up 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who were fed in addition to the women and the children. Listen, the small sacrifice you make will create abundance for those to go behind you. Come on, worship team, would you come up this morning? We're just going to end in worship. This morning, and, you know, God, would you stand up with me? And we're just going to pray, and then we're going to sing and be gone. But I really felt like, as we're talking about being fit from the inside out, from the soul level, that this was just one of the areas that God wanted to challenge us with, that God wanted to encourage us with, because I think it's so easy in the life and the busyness and the everything to get so focused on what's in front of us, right, that we miss the miracle that God wants to do around us. You guys can play, Noah. I think that happens. Right, and I think there's also a mystery and just a misconception going around that says, man, when I'm unhealthy, I need to like lock the doors, shut the windows, and I need to get healthy. Right? I just need to shut everything out so I can get healthy for a minute. But I think in doing that, there's maybe a time for that. There's a season like to just like, what's going on? But I think what's hard is that season. If that's the way you do it, that season tends to last longer than God intended it for it to last, right? Because there is something refreshing and there is something of health that is going to come to your life when in the midst of your imperfectness and your mess, when you give out. That's how it was designed. You were created with that ability, with that DNA to bless. So we rob ourselves of even being able to get healthy when we're like, well, I just got to like, I'm not perfect yet and I can't do anything for God until I get perfect. Well, you're going to be like not doing anything ever. You're never going to see a miracle if that's how you live your life. So let's close our eyes. I just want to pray over us and then maybe we'll sing a chorus. Awesome. So Father, I thank you this morning that you want your church to be healthy. Father, that you want us to prosper in every way, just as our soul prospers. Father, that you've given us, and through your word, different ingredients of things that we need, our basic needs. Father, the need to love and be loved, and all those things that we talked about. And Father, I just pray over us today on this Memorial Day weekend, as we talk about sacrifice, as we talk about service. Father, I thank you that you are in the business of partnering with your church to do miracles. Father, and I just pray over your people today as we're getting ready to have a great day tomorrow and just get on with a three-day weekend. But Father, I just ask that there would just be a refreshing. Father, there would be a refreshing, God, that there would even be a mindset shift in us. Father, where we've said, man, I can't give, I can't serve. Father, forgive us for where we've shut everything out in the name of just, I got to get healthy. And Father, forgive us for being so center-focused. Father, I pray that we would be a church that is a church that is poured out as a drink offering so that others can be refreshed. Come on, let's sing this together.
Oh, oh, you are good.
Come on, let's declare his goodness this morning because he wants to partner with you and do miracles.
You are good. Good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Oh, you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Sing it out. Oh, you're good. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good. Good. Oh. You are good. So good.
So this week as we go and we have opportunities to interact, we have opportunities to give out, I want to encourage you this morning as you go out of here to realize that God wants to do miracles through your service, through your love, through your being a blessing. And I believe this, that you will see great growth in your life, great freedom in your life, and great miracles done through your life. Amen? Amen. Cool. Well, let's go in His name, and He is good, and He has good things planned. You are released. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Oh, and you are good. Yeah. So good.